How's it going? This is Greg from The Bouncing Souls, and you're listening to The Mabel Syndrome Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel, she's the bomb.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. This is Kristen and I'm here with my co-Mabel Jessica.
Hello everybody, how's it going?
She waved.
I did. We've been doing this for how many years? And I'm like, hey, nobody's looking at me, but I'm going to wave at you. I know.
Oh, typical. You're too funny.
Typical.
We have a very special guest on the podcast. We have Jenna from the Von Trapps. How are you?
Tramps. Yeah.
I did say tramps. I know. I almost said trap. And you know what I wanted to ask you about is, are you a Sound of Music fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a huge Sound of Music fan. So that's definitely intentional.
Okay. So
when I first started doing research for the band, for this interview, I was like, I came on to totally out of left field, and I started researching, and I'm like, I don't think this is the Sound of Music grandchildren. I was like, that would be cool, but I don't think it is, and I had to like restart kind of thing. But yes, Von Trapps.
Yes, Von Trapps. Yep, that's right.
Where did the name come from for you guys?
Sound of Music. We're huge fans. You know, we were going over names and none of them landed. Just the dumbest names you've ever heard. And then one of us said Von Trapps, and I just like, I almost like spit out what I was drinking. Like it was perfect. And that's just, yeah. And it stuck with us for 6 years, and it just, it's a perfect name. People laugh, people get a cool reaction with it. And then you'll know, like, we're all like, you know, theater nerds. And so like, it's really funny because like we'll connect with other theater nerds through that name.
That's awesome. I love it.
That was one of our questions, actually. Jessica stumbled upon something that said that you've done some acting.
Yeah. Yeah. I did acting in, you know, most of my life, actually. I was in plays and stuff since I was a kid. And then I started doing film in my 20s. I did a lot of like B horror movies. And then I started working like behind the lens as well. And so Chelsea does too. Chelsea works behind the lens. So we make a lot of short films together, create content for other people, other bands, and that kind of thing.
B grade.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a huge fan. The town I used to live in, every October has a B grade movie festival.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it's amazing. And it's literally, they've had to shut it down over the years because it just got too insane, but it was an annual thing and all these local people and groups got together, like these amateur filmmakers, and everybody submitted movies. And the night that they premiered was literally like Rocky Horror Picture Show on acid in the theater for the movie premieres and stuff. And it was a really long going tradition in the town that I lived in. It was pretty incredible. And like it, because B grade is like blood, gore, sex, nudity, all the like typical things. And you'd be like sitting in this movie theater and you'd be drinking or this like auditorium and you'd be watching one of these B grade movies. And all of a sudden like a girl that serves you eggs Benedict on Sunday morning, her like boobs are on the screen and her head's getting cut off. And like, it was a really cool thing. That's a fun thing to be involved in.
Yeah. It was really weird. One of the first movies I was in was actually like a SAG film. It had a pretty decent budget. And it was with, I was opposite of Brad Dourif, who you may not know the name, but you probably know him. He's the voice of Chucky.
Okay.
You know, all the Chucky doll movies. And he's like an Academy Award nominee at one point of his career as well. And just a brilliant actor, really a fun guy to work with. And I went to the premiere of this movie with my mom, and he sits like right between my mom and me and is like hanging out with us. And it was just like such a cool moment. Like my mom's like asking him about like where he grew up and what he likes and this kind of thing. And it was just like, my mom is hanging out with Chucky right now. Like what is my life? It's so weird. But yeah,
that's,
it was really
awesome.
Cool. It was a cool experience.
Yeah. What do you like better? Do you like singing or acting better?
I like the Von Trapps because with the Von Trapps, I get to be myself. I get, you know, it's like, it's yourself, but it's like an exaggerated version of yourself. I think I connect to people a little bit better through music. With acting, it's cool, but you're imagining someone else's life, which is, you know, I think important to learn that type of empathy and to learn that, you know, not everybody comes from the same path of life that you do. And that's kind of a neat thing that you learn in film. But with act, you know, with music, it's different. It's more of a personal connection, and it's more of like myself and my own stories out there.
You definitely connect with music though. Like, it's your own story and stuff, but like, and we'll talk about it coming up, but like the new video and song and stuff, like literally listening to it and watching the video and stuff, I was like, yep, been there, done that. Yep, that's me. Yeah. Yep. You know what I mean? So
yeah, definitely.
That's one of the coolest things about being a musician, I think. I'm not one. I'm assuming that's how musicians feel. But like, that you can write things like that, that people connect with like that.
Yeah, and truthfully, I think it's just like being honest with yourself and that experience and like what you felt like, because I'm sure a lot of people, you know, the song we're talking about is 2 a.m., but I'm sure a lot of people like wouldn't want to cop to the fact that they've called someone at 2 a.m. relentless, you know, that kind of thing. And I think just being honest with these like weird experiences of your life, someone out there is going to be like, oh yeah, me too. I totally did that. It was terrible. And like, I remember every minute of that. So
I think it's funny too, like, so we're talking about 2 a.m. and the premise of it and stuff, but like, do people still call people at 2 a.m. or is it just texting?
Oh, I don't know. It could be texting. I like, you know, like we like the phone call idea, because it's just like so personal. And like, you know, now when you have cell phones and you hang up a cell phone, like something like going like this is just not as strong as going like, you know, like this. Like, yeah, it's like
slamming the phone down.
Yeah. And so like when we made the video, like we just wanted to like bring back that old era of being like so mad that you're just like slamming that phone down and that
you
feeling.
Don't look old enough to slam a phone down. You don't look old enough to slam down a rotary phone. Did you have a rotary phone growing up?
I didn't. Well, my grandma had a rotary phone in her house. This is actually like my rotary phone. But I had that. I grew up in the 2000s. I was a kid of the 2000s. And so I had one of those like clear see-through corded phones where you could like, see all the bells and all the like stuff working in there. And I mean, I'm old enough to have a pager, but I'm not like, you know, quite old enough to have a rotary phone. So I'm in this age gap. So.
Okay. So I have to say something. So I have a 12-year-old daughter. She's almost 12. So I grew up having a phone in my bedroom, like talking to boys or talking to people on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Like falling asleep on the phone.
Right.
It was called a teen line where I live. I don't know if that's an American thing or if it's a Canadian thing, but it was called a teen line.
What is that?
So like in my house, my parents had a phone number. And then for my 13th birthday, I got my own phone number in our house.
Oh, yeah.
And the cool it was kids on a phone. That. Yeah. It was a phone in my bedroom. Right. So there was their phone number and my phone number. And you know, you talk to people and you talk to boys and things like that. And you stay awake on the phone and you fall asleep on the phone. So the other night I go to check on my daughter and I go into her room and they video call, right? Like they have like FaceTime group chats and stuff. And I go into her room and sure enough, she's totally asleep and her phone is on mute. And there's like four people on a video chat and they're all asleep too.
That's awesome.
And I was like, oh, I was like, I'm going to turn this off. And I hung up and the next morning she was like, did you hang up my group chat? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, we wanted to wake up together. And I was like, I had no idea. That's a thing now. That's a thing. So it's so funny that like the generational thing is just carrying on, but like in a totally different way.
Yeah. We used to do the thing where you would conference call people so that you could get like a line of like 20 people at once.
Like a party line?
Yeah, so like, you know, you could only three-way call with like a line, but then that person would three-way call and then that person would three-way call and then so then you'd end up getting like 20 people on one call and nobody knows what's going on.
I remember calling, I remember doing the three-way call thing and a girlfriend, like me and a girl, and like calling a boy and asking him questions, but like he wouldn't know that there was the other person on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like sneaky times. Yeah, so it's like, do you have a crush on, or do you want to, do you like a friend asking a friend out? So like, we'd be like 13 and I'd be like, call Phil, ask him if he wants to go out with me. And I'm going to stay on the line and I'm not going to say anything. So my friend Carla would call Phil and I would be hiding. And then she would ask Phil out for me and he'd say yes. And we'd hang up and I'd be like, yes, I'm going out with Phil. And then that was it. But I never talked to Phil.
Right. Just going out.
It's so great.
That's awesome.
That's so cute. I'm actually glad that kids are still doing the same things in a way. Like it's a little different, but it, I don't know. That made me feel good that she's you know, 12 and talking with all of her girlfriends on the phone.
Yeah, and she wanted to wake up with them, right? She wanted to, like, wake up and be like, who's awake first? You know, it was a cute thing.
That's really cute.
That is very cute.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, next time I won't go in your room and I won't hang up your nighttime chat. Like, I'll let you do your thing.
Jenna, I want to talk about the beginning of the band a little bit. Because we found it really endearing and sweet how you and Chelsea met, because we met online too. So I just wanted to hear about that a little bit.
Chelsea's from this really kind of like small woodsy town in Minnesota where there aren't a whole lot of people that are interested in the same things that she's interested in. And I'm from Minneapolis, which is a little bit more populated. And she actually put out an ad on Craigslist, of all places, that was looking for an all-girl band. And I'd just gotten done doing some movies, and I wanted to get back into music. And I thought, like, there's just something that told me to answer her ad. And we met in the basement of this building that was, like, rat-infested and dirty and terrible. Gosh. And, yeah, it was really gross. And we just, like, started playing songs together. And we just had – we had a really great connection. And we had, like, the same interests. And we just played all the same songs that we liked. And I knew that I wanted to be in a band with Chelsea because I pulled out this song, this original song that I had written a while ago. And I'd shown it to a couple other guys that I was in bands with, and they never wanted to do anything with it. And they were like, oh, I don't know, it's not our style. I don't like it. And I showed it to Chelsea, and right away she's like, how'd that go again? Can you show me that again? Let's do that. I like that song. That's a good song. So cool. And I just knew, I was just like, oh yeah, okay, you're really supportive. And like, I really like that. And it kind of like, we're powder keg of each other, you know, and she would show me something and I'd show her something. And then we would kind of like challenge each other to learn more, learn different things. And, you know, with that, then we met Cassandra a few years later after a couple of lineup changes, and she just is really like the glue to the whole group. We have these crazy ideas and we come to her with these insane ideas, and she's like, okay, I'll make a list and figure it out. And she like figures out how to do the crazy things that we need to do and how to, you know, like take care of like the finances for it and this and that. And like, so she really helps us stay organized and on track with our goals and helps us kind of like figure out what's important, what's not. And it's just such a cool thing to like be in a business with your best friends. I mean, really being in a band is like, it's like a female owned business is what we're doing. And so it's like, you know, everybody's got responsibilities and we all check in with each other and we're all each other's, you know, cheerleaders. And it's just such a cool experience to be in a band with women, just totally different from any other experience I've ever had in bands. And I've been playing in bands for like 15 years, 16 years. So really it's truly a different world with them.
We know how that feels. We do. It's true. Like, you know, we're not a band, but like Kristen and I, and then we have a group of like five other women who we just like bounce our ideas off of, and they help us through so many things. They're like our head people, and it's like you can say anything, you can do anything, you get an honest opinion, you get honest support, you get honest feedback, and it's a totally different vibe than you know, it is different. It's cool.
It's totally different. And like with Chelsea, it's almost like we're like Beavis and Butthead sometimes. Like we don't even have to say anything, and like the two of us will just start like laughing about nothing, and it's just like, it's so ridiculous.
So which one of you is Beavis? Which one of you is Beavis? Which one of you is Butthead?
I'm sure I'm Butthead. Like, I just like, you know, I don't know.
But, I feel like I would be Butthead too.
Yeah, I'm probably the one funny with the higher pitched voice. So I'm probably Butthead. But yeah, it's just kind of a unique experience to like be that close to people. And, I don't know. And people that maybe we wouldn't have been friends in high school, or maybe we would have, or who knows, you know, that kind of thing. Just really, really cool to meet like your soulmates on the internet, I guess.
Yeah. I know what that feels like. I've met mine on the internet. It's totally true. Pre-COVID, years and years ago, like, you know, we were in an interview the other day, Chris and I were talking, and like the person we were interviewing is saying how like her soulmate is from the internet and they've never met. And as soon as COVID is done, they're going to meet. And like, they know that that's who they are. And you know, it's like Kristen and I have been doing this for years together, and we've only been in actual physical contact with each other twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just how it works now. And
yeah,
I don't know.
On the internet, like bringing people that live far away that have these common interests together, and you meet your person, you know, but then it's because they live on the other side of the world.
Right. Right. It's less about location and more about common interests. And it's really cool.
It does create some downsides though. Like for Kristen and I to get together is really hard, you know, right. like I think it's really cool that you got to meet that person so close to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Really cool. Super cool.
That's awesome. Did you, have you been in other bands with men?
Yeah. Yeah.
You
actually
have.
Most of my bands have been with men. Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with playing with men either. I had a good time. I was always treated respectfully and well. It's just, I think your opinion is valued a little more when you're with other women. It's a little bit more of a level field. Like I'd bring songs in with my, you know, bands that had men in them, and they kind of like pan some of my ideas, and but I'm not like, the thing is I'm not like writing it for you. I'm writing it for like other women in the crowd that have felt this before. And like I know you don't understand it, and it's okay. You don't understand it, but like they will, and they'll buy it and they'll like it, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
it's like, it was hard convincing them certain things. And I don't know. There's like a lot of things where you'd play guitar and you play guitar really well, and like at the end of the show, like guys would be like, oh, you're a great singer, but like they can't acknowledge that you like are an instrumentalist too or anything like that. Or
oh, interesting.
Or you'd get the like, who are you dating in the band, or you know, that kind of thing. And that was like frustrating a lot. There's quite a few interesting scenarios. I didn't like touring with male bands, because I was always the odd man out. So if we were like staying in hotel rooms and stuff, it would be like three other guys and me. And that was just, that just got to be kind of awkward sometimes, and wanted my own, like, I wanted to take like an hour getting ready in the bathroom. They didn't understand that. And like, stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. I like that. I like that you know both sides of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that the Von Tramps songs are they're relatable for both genders, but I do feel as a woman, like you're speaking to me, like your songs are like an experience that I've had, you know? So there is a real feminism in it, and a real empowering women kind of vibe to all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like, just by being honest, like I said, just being honest with myself about like things that I've been through or things that I wanted to write, I think that's how you connect with someone, and just sharing your story. And I think the Von Tramps, little snippets of it, is just pieces of our lives and pieces of our story. And so many women have experienced similar things. So
have you had women come up to you and like, thank you for particular songs and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, actually, The Future Is Female, that whole album is about like what happens after you survive domestic assault. Mm-hmm. And how to put your life back together after you survive an incident like that. And I think there were so many people that came up to me afterwards and told me their stories, almost kind of like similar to the Me Too movement in a way. It opened up a dialogue, and people that I had known forever were coming up to me and telling me things that had happened to them. And it was just odd, just by being honest about what had happened to me, it seemed like many women, felt like they could share their story too. And I was really happy that I could be that for people. I was really happy that I could be strong enough to be kind of like their soundboard and help them get things off their chest too, and connect to a bigger world together.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, you have to be fully healed yourself to make that art, put it out into the world, get that feedback from other people. You know,
you
have to be fully healed yourself and like able to digest all of that, because that can be heavy.
Right. And creating that album was healing in itself.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like a gift for myself, you know, to have, you know, something to look forward to every day to get through that, and something to bring to other people, which really, that was the ultimate gift, was being of service to others. And that album really helped, that kind of saved my life in a way, or it helped me find who I was always meant to be.
Do you remember being like younger, and did you have like particular albums or like musicians or songs or things like that, like that you feel like that in your younger years, were that for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom came out when I was really young. And, I remember that was the first I heard Just a Girl on the radio. I must've been like 9 or 10 the first time I heard it. And I just thought, what is that? And I need that. And I remember riding my bike down to this record store called Cheapo Records. It was down this big hill. And I rode my bike down to Cheapo Records, and I had a bunch of quarters in a sock because we weren't a very like well-off family. So I had to like, I like dug in the couch cushions for all these quarters so I could like buy this. And so I like put the sock down on the corner, and I was like on the counter, and I said, I need that Just a Girl song. And they had the single on tape. And so I like wore out that Just a Girl like single tape. And then I went back and finally got Tragic Kingdom. And I burnt out like 3 copies of that.
Wow.
So yeah, that was one of the first big things. I think that was the record that really made me feel like this is what I want to do with my life. And now I have to figure out how. And you know, at that time I was already in like the like middle school band and like, you know, mm-hmm. elementary school, and I was playing drums. And I was like trying to learn like how to be like a rock star at that time, and how to write my own songs. And so I started learning all these different instruments and kind of looking into other people that influenced that record. But that was basically the one that started it all for me.
I love that. I love that story because I remember the first time I heard that album. And like, we're both older than you, but like the fact that you said you were like 9 or 10 and riding your bike definitely made me feel 110. But no, like I think I was only in grade 8 when that album came out. And I was on a school field trip, and we were on the bus, and a boy like 4 years older than us, we were traveling quite far, and we were going for like an overnight field trip to watch some play in a different city. And one of my good friends had his Discman, and he was like, had this CD, and he played it for me. And I remember being same feeling, even though I was older than you, being like, holy fuck, like, what is this? And who is this voice? You know, like, and going like, women can do this. What?
Yeah, right. And it was a different thing that I'd seen before. Cause like, I had listened to like Madonna, and I had listened to other, you know, female artists growing up, but there was something different about Gwen where she had like a strength. And when she sang, like, she wasn't afraid to be like ugly with her face. Like, she wasn't afraid to like embrace like actually being a rock star, similar to someone like, you know, Joan Jett or Susie Quattro. Yeah. Like, she kind of like, she teeter tottered between like, it's okay to be incredibly feminine, and it's okay to like be this way, but it's also okay to be really tough, and it's also okay to like do push-ups on stage, and it's also okay to, you know, like
dress how you want to. She was so forward in terms of fashion.
Right. Yeah. And she,
I will say, when I listen to the video, watch the video and listen to the song for the first time, when you're walking down the hallway in your pajamas like that and you're singing, Gwen Stefani was the first person I thought of, just so you know.
Thanks. Yeah. That's super flattering. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope I look like her when I'm 110, because fuck me, she looks great.
I know, right? Still sounds good too. Yeah.
She does.
Well, let's talk about the new album. The new album is called Go.
Go. Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
And you guys recorded it a lot over like while you were quarantined and everything.
Yes. So we were really sad when the pandemic hit, just like everybody else. We had a huge tour planned for South by Southwest. Things were really starting to happen for us, and the pandemic hit, and we were so lost. Like, we had just been spending the last few years just grinding it out with each other and just like doing tour date. And then there was this huge pause, and we just didn't know what to do. So I started writing songs again. Chelsea came over every weekend, and we just figured we were already in the industry where we were considered essential. So we were already having to risk our lives for our jobs. Mm-hmm. So we were
for your day job, like for your regular job.
Yeah, for our day jobs. So like we were still doing the day job thing and we were just like, okay, well we're risking our lives being essential for this, for someone else's dream. We could just see each other just the same amount. So we kind of like met outside during the summer and we were like writing songs outside on my porch and kind of just kept going and going and going. And then we quarantined together and went to Denver to record them with our producer, Justin. Yeah. Yeah. So then by the end of that quarantine period, we had so many songs we didn't know what to do with. The goal was one album, but we wrote it was just like flowing, flowing, flowing. And we didn't want to stop our process. So we ended up picking like the best 12 that we could. Well, 10 plus two covers. And we went down and recorded them with Dustin and it was amazing. I don't know if you guys, are familiar with Dustin Phillips, but he's the drummer of the Ataris and he's on TikTok quite a bit now.
Okay.
He's really a fantastic drummer and producer, engineer. We've worked with him a few times and it's been wonderful every time. So
what are the two covers? Two covers.
We did Sunflower by Post Malone. Nice. And we did a Jimmy Eat World song.
Oh
yeah. So we reimagined a song off of Bleed American because it was Jimmy Eat World's 20th anniversary of that album. And I was going through a breakup at the time and I just kept listening to this song called Your House on repeat. And I thought it would be like a fantastic like ska song and the lyrics really connected with me. And so I remember I was like in my kitchen, like listening to Your House and I reimagined this like soca beat with it, which is like a little bit more like to ska or reggae and it fit. And I was just like, whoa, that's it. Like, that's how it's gotta be. And so I didn't have any drums or anything because it was the pandemic. So I just took a Rubbermaid bin and I flipped it over and I put a microphone in it and I like got this really thick sound. And so I just kept like drumming on that and using that like for my like main drum line, like drum tone. And then I started like layering other things over it. And then I sent like a rough to Chelsea and I was like, what do you think of this? Like, can we do this? And she's like, yeah, we'll do that. That's cool. So yeah, we ended up
pretty badass. That's cool.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. We ended up like, you know, re-recording it, but instead of using the Rubbermaid bins, we actually used like Tyco drumming samples. So that sounded really sweet. So yeah,
that's
that
one's so cool.
Out. Yeah. Those are, they're both out. So you can hear them.
Jimmy Eat World, just side note, Jimmy Eat World is like all breakup songs to me. Like sad time, breakup time.
Well, the coolest thing too is like I sent it to Jim Atkins and like he was like, oh, this is really fun. Like very flattering. I was like, oh, whoa, really? Like you liked it? Like I was like so nervous that he was like, be like, this is terrible. Because I don't know. That's like his baby, you know, I don't want to like.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he liked it.
Huge compliment. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. So if the future is female, kind of has a theme of this experience that happened to you and owning it and building yourself back up, does Go have a similar kind of theme?
Yeah, Go's just all about momentum. And it was like everything that we wanted to do in the pandemic and like couldn't. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to give people an album of like really positive songs. So like the second they could go, they would. Yeah. Yeah. So like the whole album is just about movement, momentum, kind of like harnessing your dreams and figuring out who you are and that kind of thing.
We all need that right now.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Ooh. Like I literally just like you saying that right now, I'm like, I need that. I need that tomorrow. I need it when I wake up. I need it in my car. Like,
yeah,
it's true, right? Like that's a very big message right now.
We were like, you know, go could mean so many things. It can mean like go away, you know, get out there and go, like go for it, like do what you're gonna do and like do it well. It's kind
of get
like,
the fuck out of bed and go.
Yeah, like, get up, like it's go time. Let's go. Get
go time.
Get the sweats off. Time to get out there.
Is there anything other than sweats right now? Aren't we still in a pandemic? I have like daytime PJs and nighttime PJs. That's literally what I have.
Right.
I work from home, but it doesn't sound like you work from home, Jenna.
No, I don't. No.
What's your day job? What's your, what's your other job?
I do production. So I do a lot of like, you know, consulting and producing, making films and making things like that.
Like you said, for other people.
Yes.
So we're going to release at the end of this podcast, we're going to play the song 2 a.m.
Sure.
And we're really excited to be premiering it on our website too. So everyone should check out, we're going to have a link, an exclusive link to the YouTube video, which is so fun. The video is amazing.
I love the video.
Yeah.
You guys like knocked that all out of the ballpark for real.
Thank you. We did that ourselves. And
how did you do that yourself?
Right? I thought that too when I watched it. I was the same thing. I was like, how did you guys do this all by yourself?
Yeah, I produced it, and Chelsea is a amazing, director of photography and editor, and it just came together really well. We had a little help on camera for some of the shots that we couldn't do ourselves because we're all in it. But everything else, yeah, we did it ourselves.
There is one scene when I was watching it today again. There's one little clip in it's like a air mattress in the pool, but it's like furry.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck was that? The faux fur floating air mattress in the pool. I was like, what is this? It's perfect for the video.
These are film secrets.
This is like, I was like, they're laying on this like plush faux fur thing in the pool, all like wonderful. And I was like, what is that thing? It's so great. It looked, nobody puts like faux fur floaties in the pool, but like you did, and it looks amazing. It worked really, really well.
Thanks. Yeah.
And your pajamas.
Cool, oh yeah. Yeah. The pajamas.
And your pajamas. When I watched the video, I was like, I want to look like her at bedtime.
No, I promise I don't look like that either. I kept walking around going, oh yeah, I woke up like this.
It's a good video. It's nice to watch. It's fun to watch. It's like,
thank you. Yeah.
It's really, really cool. So I did, like, in our research, it said something about Grandpa's pool house.
Yes.
So you had mentioned like you filmed it in a real pool house, but then I saw this little thing somewhere on the internet that it was like you filmed it at Grandpa's pool house. Is that a real Grandpa's pool house?
Yeah. It's
your
actually
Grandpa?
Kind of a cool story. No, it's not my grandpa. I wish it was.
Okay.
It's this awesome girl. Her grandparents actually owned that pool house. And something happened where it kind of went into disrepair when they like got elderly, and she took it back over and has kind of refurbished it and turned it into a place where people can do photo shoots and things like that.
Oh.
But it really was her grandfather's pool house, and all of it's pretty original too. I think it's like late 60s era.
It's cute.
It's really cute. Mid-century floating staircases and things like that.
Yeah.
Vaulted ceilings and really unique property in the middle of nowhere. And super cool what she's done with it. And I love when people rescue old buildings like that. It's amazing. So
not your grandpa.
No,
unfortunately. But cool.
That's super
cool.
Someone's grandpa.
Someone's grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us some insight into the song. Like it's clear what it's about, but give us some scoop and tell us a little bit about how the writing process for it.
Honestly, this was one of those like miracle songs where like we didn't have to work at it and it just happened. There was one line that was tricky, but everything else just like was like throwing up words and like that, and we had it. It was one that Chelsea wrote the music part and sent to me. And like the same day I had like vocals ready. And it was one of those things where I was just like sitting at my computer and I was like trying to work on something else. And it just popped in my head. And I was like, okay, I need to take a time out from this work thing and actually like do my real job. So I got those like words down really fast. We kind of fixed just a few things when we got to the studio, but it was really ready to go right away. And we always call this song like our SNL song, because we feel like if we ever got the chance to play SNL, like this would be the song we play.
I love that. That's like the most endearing thing I've ever heard. It's so true. Yeah. It's like if, I mean, I don't do anything that would be that big, but like that's such a wonderful thought, and it's your song. It's your go-to.
Yeah. It's our jam. We love that song, and it's so fun. And people just like bop to it too. Like we've played it a couple times live, mm-hmm. and it's really fun to watch what people do. They just kind of move to it and have a good time. And yeah, even though it's like a super like kind of depressing song, I guess maybe.
I didn't find it depressing. Kristen, did you?
No, it's empowering.
Yeah, it felt really like I've been there. I'm thank God I'm not the only one. That's what it felt like. It felt like, you're like, I'm not the only one that does that shit or has done. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like breaking that infinity loop.
It was relatable in terms of like, thank fuck I'm not the only one. That's what it felt like.
Well, good. Yeah, I love
and
that.
And I'm not still in that loop and I'm not still
yes, exactly. And,
right.
Yeah. And I moved on or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. See, it's not a downer. It's an upper.
So the new album comes out in March.
Yes.
And
yes.
We're premiering the song on our website. And you have some tour dates, maybe? Hopefully.
Yeah, we have a lot of tour dates. So, you know, check our bands in town and check our Facebook, our socials. We're hitting the road with the Dolly Rots and doing a really quick U.S. tour. And then right after that, we're hopping the pond and we're, you know, touring Europe for a little while.
You have Texas, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Minneapolis. You have quite a bit before you go to Europe.
Yeah, so there's quite a few opportunities to see us. We are so grateful to be getting back out there. We're trying to be as COVID conscious as possible. So, you know, trying to handle the fact that we're still in a pandemic. So make sure you mask up or get vaxxed before you come to the shows, because we're trying to do our best to stop all that from happening. And we don't want to see any more venues close or our industry to go down. So, but we're really excited to have the opportunity to just get back out there.
Another thing that I had in my notes that I wanted to mention was like, we've always talked about merch, like band merch that's good for women and things like that. You have a really incredible selection of merch to buy on your websites.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm a big like clothes nut. So
yeah,
like I would hate it if I didn't have a cool store.
You have a pretty cool store. Like when I was going on and I was looking through and stuff, I was like, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take that. There's a lot of really great stuff on there. So we're always sort of promoting stuff that like we really enjoy to wear. So anybody that's listening, definitely go check it out, because you have some pretty great stuff.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm like I said, my closet is just like ridiculous and I just love clothes so much. So I want to make things that are like people like want to wear. Yeah.
Me too, but nothing fits me. My closet's really full. But thanks, COVID.
Yeah. But it is something we talk about a lot.
We do.
Because I find as somebody that, there's something else I wanted to talk to you about too. I find as women going to shows and I want to see some more merch that relates to me, that I would feel comfortable in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes they have like the girl shirt that's like this cropped little thing or something, or
it's too small. Yeah.
Or, yeah. The sizes are all weird. And
yeah.
Or the logo, they put the logos like on the
right across your nipple.
And you wouldn't want it there. And
so I like with my 12-year-old, she wears like my Face-to-Face shirts and my Lagwagon shirts. She wears all this like band merch that's been passed down to her, and she wears it. She's 12. It's too small for her. And I wore it when I was like 18. And I look at it and I'm like, holy fuck. Like, so my mom's big thing was like, I would put my clothes in the laundry and it would never come back to me. And I'd be like, where's my Lagwagon shirt? And she'd be like, what shirt? Because for me, I would put stuff in the laundry for her to wash and she'd be like, nope. And it would disappear. Right. And so that was a long time ago. But when I look at my 12-year-old and she puts on a shirt that she can't wear anymore, that was mine when I was, you know, mm-hmm. that age. So like, that's part of our thing. Like when you find merch that a 40-year-old or a 30-year-old or a 17-year-old, whatever, can wear, and it's good and it's comfortable and you feel covered and you feel confident, that's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to buy a baby doll tank top t-shirt anymore. And I don't want to buy a men's size XL and cut it up and make it fit me either.
Right. Yeah. I think like a lot of merch lines don't don't think about that, or having like alternate body types. We're really size inclusive too. We go up to 3X in our like physical store, but you can order like any size.
Nice.
Yeah. And we go all the way down to like extra small too.
Yeah.
I just hate feeling like there's nothing out there for me. And I know like a lot of other people feel that way. So yeah. It was really important to us to make sure that we have a little something to offer to everybody. There's things that have color, and there's things that are black and white, and there's things that are slim cut, and there's things that aren't, you know, it's important.
Well, your merch store is great.
Yeah,
when I went, and I looked, I loved it. So well done.
Thank you so much. Yeah, my dog is actually on most of it, you know. You'll see like a hound emblem, and that's like for my dog. So,
what's your dog's name?
Hans.
Oh.
And yeah. He is a?
He's a bloodhound.
Oh, Lord help you.
You know, most like female bands are always like associated with cats. And yes. I was just like, I don't really feel like our band is like cats. I think we're all like these drooly like dogs. I feel like we're just more like dogs. Like we love everybody, and we get like too inappropriately close to people, and like we think we're a lot smaller than we are and sit on people, you know. Like I just feel
like
are you sure
you're not like literally a founder of Mabel Syndrome, because I feel like you're literally part of us just by saying that.
I know. So like we had and then like tramps, and like, you know, Lady and the Tramp. Tramp is another word for like a vagrant or something that wanders, and like I just felt like the dog is like so much more us than a cat. And so we had like little bloodhound logos on everything. So
yeah. The other thing I wanted to say that related to me so much is the song Sarah.
Oh yeah.
Because it's about, tell me if I'm wrong, but what I took from it, because I was always, I always hung with the guys, right? So yeah. I was always the only girl that hung with all the guys. And then we all turned like 30 and got married, or people had girlfriends and they weren't allowed to hang out with me anymore.
Right. Yes.
And so, you know, cause their girlfriends would be like, you want to go to a punk rock show with Kristen? I don't think so. And so I lost my guy friends when they got married or got in relationships. And then I felt really like, and that's why I started Mabel Syndrome, was to find other women. I was like, there have to be other punk rock women out there.
Yes.
Around the world that I can find, that I can relate to. But, oh no, we lost Jess.
Oh,
I wonder why. But we were wrapping up anyways. But anyway, I wanted to let you know that I really love that song.
Yeah, I love that song too. It's about one of Chelsea's roommates, and we just had a terrible time with one of his girlfriends, and it was really sad to watch him go that way.
Right.
And you know, we just kept talking about how funny it would be. We were obsessed with this comic book back in the day called Teen Girl Squad. It was like a webtoon. And we were like, it would be so funny to redo that music video as Teen Girl Squad. Right. And so that was kind of our pandemic project, because we couldn't get together in person. Right. So we had an animator for PBS draw us as Teen Girl Squad and animate it for that video. It was just such a cool thing.
The video is very cool. And it's
I loved all the different ways like Sarah was trying to like manipulate us and be mean in the video, and it was just so cool like to see.
But you lose friends to relationships sometimes, and it's just such a bummer.
It is. It's terrible.
Yeah, but also I thought it was going to be, at first when I was watching the video trying to figure out the song, I thought it was going to be a girlfriend that you lose to her boyfriend, but it wasn't. It was the guy that you're losing your friend to. A girlfriend, and I thought that was really related to that.
And normally we don't do like, oh, that girl's such a bee kind of songs or anything like that, but we're like, okay, one is okay. We do one.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we're so excited to premiere 2 a.m. And play the song at the end of this episode, and you can watch the video on our website or on the Von Tramps YouTube channel, our website, all sorts of places. You'll find it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, this has been great.